Morning, everyone.
Morning.
Morning.
Many of you I know, I was out here a good 5 years ago, I guess 5 and a half now, so I remember you, and I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful to be back. I'm thankful that you brethren that the Lord gave you a pastor, and I'm thankful for that, because that's precious. That's precious, and you've experienced it, and you know how precious that is, so I'm thankful that the Lord blessed you with a pastor, and I'm thankful for Kevin and for Kimberly and their children, that they've come out here, that the Lord gave them a heart to come out here and minister the gospel to the Lord's people. And that's a blessing. That's a blessing. All right, be turning to John chapter 7. That's our text. However, once you mark it, just know that we're not coming back there till the very end of this message. We're going to end in John 17. First, I'd like to speak to you about what the scriptures teach us about believers, about the experience of believers, describing them as having various troubles, trials, difficulties, afflictions, something that is no doubt familiar
to you who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You're familiar with these troubles that you have. For example, Noah was a preacher of at least or about 120 years, a preacher of righteousness, as the ark was being prepared, as the Lord told him, and he preached the gospel, and no man believed him. No man believed him, save seven souls that entered that ark with him. That was a trouble to him, no doubt. And the children of Israel, we read of them becoming slaves for some hundreds of years to the Egyptians. And when the Lord did settle them in the land of promise, we read of them being troubled by their enemies that surrounded them. And not only were they distressed, but the scriptures often describes them as being sore distressed, very distressed by the troubles and the persecutions that they were enduring by their enemies. We know that after some time, the northern tribes were taken captive and brought into Assyria. And the southern tribes as well were taken captive and brought into Babylon. And they weren't all unbelievers, because we read of Daniel, a young man whom the Lord turned his heart and caused him to look to his Savior and taught him very much through those trials and difficulties, and blessed us with the scriptures, the book of Daniel, having gone through those very trials. And we read of the prophets who mourned, seeing the troubles and the difficulties that their brethren were going through, things that were coming upon them because of the hardness of their heart, and how many others would suffer and be tried greatly because of the sin of the people. And they were put to death, some of them, simply for preaching the word that the Father had given to them and sent them to preach and declare to the people and tell them, "There's the wrath of God is coming upon you. Hear the Lord. Hear him. Hear his word of salvation." And they put many of them to death. The psalmist sums it up well. Be turning to Psalm 25. Let's see this. Psalm 25, and we'll pick up in verse 15. David says, "Mine eyes," verse 15, "mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net." Not if my feet get taken in the net, but when my feet are taken in the net, it's the Lord. It's the Lord that's going to pluck my feet. He's the one that's going to deliver me. We come into trials and troubles. We're snared by many nets, and every case, when it's the Lord that delivers you. We're not going to figure it out. We're not going to get ourselves out of it this time, but the Lord has purposed it, that we might learn and know It's not our wisdom. It's not what I've done. It's not what I said. It's not that good decision I made here or turned away from that wickedness there. In spite of us, it's the Lord that delivers us from the net. It's His grace. It's His grace that blesses you, brethren. It's His grace that saves us from our sins. He goes on to say in verse 16 of Psalm 25, "Turn thee unto me, and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted." Are you desolate? Are you afflicted? You're in the company of saints, brethren. You're in the company of God's saints, you that are troubled and sore distressed. "The troubles of my heart are enlarged." Are your troubles increasing and growing? Do you find some days and weeks very trying, very hard, very difficult? You're in the company of saints. "Oh, bring thou me out of my distresses. Look upon mine affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins." Our boldness before the throne of grace is not because we're so good and have put away all our sins and started doing everything right. Our boldness is the blood of Christ. It's the promise of God made unto you who have no righteousness of your own, but have heard the word of God and believe that Christ is our very salvation. He is our righteousness. He's our all. He is your deliverance. Not because you're so wise. It's not because you figured things out and do things right now. It's because God will be gracious to you. Because He will be gracious to you in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because God is merciful and compassionate to whom He will be merciful and compassionate. "Consider mine enemies," verse 19, "for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. Oh, keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee." And that's what the Lord is doing through these trials and troubles that you go through, you that believe Christ. We don't have these clean lives and everything's not perfect and going well all the time. No, we're going through difficulties because the Lord is teaching you that in all these things, in spite of these things, He is your salvation. He's your mercy. He's your deliverance. He's instructing us to know this by experience, to come into these things and find that, no, I can't deliver myself, Lord. If I'm to be delivered, it's by Your grace and mercy. And we don't know that by nature. And we're hard of heart. We don't learn that in this flesh. We learn it by the grace of God who gives it to us, who instructs us, who teaches us in spite of ourselves. In spite of what we deserve, He's very kind and compassionate to us. So hear what the Scriptures say to us to encourage us. Paul wrote to Timothy saying, "Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." And he teaches us, the Spirit teaches us, "All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." And it's not always persecution in the way that we expect it to be, but it comes through various trials and difficulties. And so the Peter wrote, "Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you." Don't think it's strange. Don't think that this is peculiar only to you. It's purposed of God to try you, to try that which He's given to you. And we're tempted by various troubles, but James strengthens us saying, "My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations." There's a purpose. It's given to you of the hand of God. Consider it all joy, because the Lord is teaching you through that. He's given it to you for your joy, for your comfort, for your teaching, for your instruction. And so Paul wrote to the Thessalonians saying, "No man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. You've been appointed these afflictions. This has not happened to you randomly or by chance or some bad luck. It's happened to you because God has purposed it for your good, for your teaching. And I will say this because I know I feel for my brethren who are tender and worried by the difficulties that they go through. It's not because you're not a saint. It's not because God is giving you a hard time and punishing you before he casts you into hell for all eternity, just to make you feel bad. You're going through these things because you are a child of God, because you are his saint, because he cares for you. And he has delivered you and is delivering you from death and ruin and utter everlasting misery. He's doing this because he loves his children, because he loves you who hope in him and believe him and rest in him and know he's all my salvation. Lord, I have nothing if I have not you. You're everything. Turn over to Romans 5. Go to Romans 5 and let's look at verses 3 through 5. Paul says there in verse 3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And so he's teaching us, he's blessing us to know that Christ is our keeper. He's the one that's saving us. He's the one that's strengthening your souls even in the midst of the trial, even in the midst of the difficulty. He's the one that's keeping you, and you're learning that. He's teaching you that. We don't always think we're learning it, and we don't always realize what he's taught us until he settles us and slows us down and causes us to see how our sustaining, our keeping has been the Lord all this time. How is it, Lord, that I'm still looking to Christ and still believing you and hoping in you and haven't fallen away as so many have? Lord, it's by your keeping. It's by your grace. It's by your mercy. Now, our Lord is, through this, teaching us to trust him in these distressing times, in these troublesome difficulties, these afflictions, these hardships. He's teaching us to look to him, and he's the one leading you through it. In Hebrews 4, verse 15, it says, we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. You know, we hear that. We hear that in a textbook manner. You children going through school, you're learning things through the textbook. And then you get out into the real world and you begin to experience the reality of these things. And by God's grace, you can reflect on them and realize, wow, I didn't even understand what that meant. I thought I understood what it meant, but now I've learned it through experience. And so the Lord teaches his people to know the compassion and the care of Christ, who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities as we go through infirmities, as we go through troubles and difficulties. That's where we learn how merciful and gracious to him that we are. Let me give you a couple examples. Let's turn over to Matthew 14, verse 23. Here we see a couple examples in Scripture of the compassion of Christ. Verse 23 here. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. Now, I have no doubt that every one of us here has not only experienced sickness, but many of you have yet various sicknesses. Whether it's a physical sickness, it could be a mental sickness, you could be very troubled spiritually, and that for a long time. And you read of how Christ healed these people. He had compassion upon them. And I can look back, I can recall a few times where the Lord was very merciful to me and healed me of some physical sickness, something that really tried me. And I remember those things. But you know what I remember more than those deliverances? How that through those physical illnesses, things that you don't even see or know about, but how the Lord kept me and blessed me in those and made that experience more precious to me. Because as we have those sicknesses and those difficulties and those struggles which aren't taken away, the Lord's teaching us, my grace is sufficient for thee. And there's a lot of times where we've prayed and cried out, like Paul, more than three times, Lord, remove this thorn in my flesh from me. Take it away from me, Lord. I'd be so thankful if you'd remove it from me. And he doesn't. But it's in that you learn his grace is sufficient for me, because he makes it precious. Those times when you finally cry out to him in sincerity, in the spirit, how few those times are when God blesses it to your soul and is precious to you, and you see just how great his grace is that keeps you in spite of your infirmity and doesn't turn you away or cast you away, but holds you up and blesses you, enables you to be here and to hear that word and to continue staying upon him and not being turned away from him. It's made more precious to you. He's healed you in a way that's different than the physical healing, in a way more precious and more blessed to your soul. And those are the things I remember more than those times when he did remove some physical ailment from me. It's those ones that weren't removed, but he's yet precious to me regardless of it. And so we see the mercy of God, and regardless if there's a healing that he's done for every one of his children that's more precious than a physical healing or even a removal of a mental sickness that we may have. It's that he's healed every one of us of our sin sickness, so that my sin is no longer determining my eternal habitation. The one who determines my eternal rest and home is the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't stand in the inheritance of Adam. I don't stand in the inheritance of the inhabitants of the earth. I stand in the inheritance of Jesus Christ. He's the one who determines where I shall dwell forever and ever. And it's in his presence by his grace and mercy. He's delivered us from that bondage of sin and death, where we labored under the thumb of the devil in fear and doubts and worries, trying to work a righteousness for myself. That's put away. I see that Christ is all my sufficiency. He's all my righteousness. And that's what he does for his people. He's healed every one of us who believe on him to stop hoping and spending and laboring for that which does not satisfy, and to rest in the grace of Christ, in the grace of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now let's see another one. Mark 6:34. Mark 6. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. Don't we have many things to learn? Many things that we are slow to hear and have great difficulty learning? Well, the Lord is teaching us, and he teaches us through the fiery trial. He leads us through diverse temptations, giving us faith by which we endure these temptations. He leads us along through these afflictions that we experience, and in those, Christ is teaching you many things. Many things. He's having compassion on you and sustaining you and showing you his strength, and his power is sufficient to save you to the uttermost, to deliver you out of all your troubles. Even though you're going through them, we find that it's his arms that are carrying us through. It's his arms that are embracing us. It's his arms that are keeping us. He's bearing these troubles with his people. We have many things to learn. You know, Paul was taught many things as well. Brother Paul was taught through the various trials, through the various temptations, through the various difficulties that he went through, so that he wrote in Philippians 4, verses 12 and 13, he said, I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. He didn't just know that. He experienced that. He was taught that through the various trials, through the various persecutions and the beatings and the hatred and the hard times. He was taught that, that in all those things, Christ was sustaining him and keeping him and blessing him and using him to minister to the people and to fellowship with the brethren and to be a comfort to them as well. He used all of that, and Paul saw that, and that's what he's showing you. Yes, you have afflictions. Yes, you have difficulties. Yes, you have trials for your good and for the good of your brethren, for the good of his people. And so, like his disciples who heard him, he blesses you, right? That context there in Mark 6 is where he fed the 5,000. And we're told that he fed them with bread, lest they should faint in the way returning home. And so it is that the Lord is blessing you, giving you the bread of heaven through these trials and difficulties, lest you should faint on your way home to that heavenly inheritance which he's promised to you and gives you in Christ. And that same Savior who walked the earth being moved with compassion for these here is yet moved with compassion for you. And he's yet teaching you and healing you and blessing you and giving you everything you need, even when you're indifferent to it, even when you don't recognize his kindness, even when we're forgetful and treat him not as a friend, but as an enemy. He's yet merciful and is a faithful friend to you and keeps you and doesn't do to you as you deserve, but is kind and merciful. He's yet moved with compassion toward you in all your distresses and blesses you to keep trusting him and blesses you to not go away, but keeps you ever. And he gave his life to redeem you, all that the Father gave him. And Paul says, he taught me this, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I live by the faith, the faithfulness of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul was taught that. And that's what you're being taught, the love of Christ for you, who keeps you and blesses you and is kind toward you. So understand this, brethren, that our Lord is teaching you the same truth in the same way, through trials, through infirmities, through sicknesses, through afflictions, through hardships, through all these difficulties. He's teaching you. He's blessing you in this same manner so that you know, as he said to his disciples in John 15:5, without me, he can do nothing, nothing. And the only way you learn that is by going through the trials and the troubles and tribulations and being stripped down to see, I've got nothing. I've got nothing, but Lord, you're everything and you're everything I need. That comes through trials. That's how you learn that without him, you can do nothing. That's why you fall on your face and why you see the evil of this flesh and the weakness of this flesh and are hard of learning things often and have lessons repeated to you, because we have need of them being repeated to us, that we might learn that without him we can do nothing. Lord, I'm reminded again and again and again and again, because I need it and you need it. And that's why we go through these trials. That's why we're reminded, because he's compassionate toward us. He said in Jeremiah 31:3, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. So that through them, he feeds you the word of the gospel. And he brings you here and gathers you here and feeds you this word, though we don't deserve it, any one of us. And yet he feeds you with that word and blesses it to your heart, lifting you up and raising you in Christ to see and know that he is everything I need. Why did I turn my eyes from you? Why did I forget so quickly the last time you blessed my heart? But here I am again, and you're faithfully teaching me this truth again and again. Thank you, Lord. Now turn over to 1 Peter 5:6. And we'll pick up in verse 6. Read down to verse 11. Peter says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Don't get angry with God. Don't start cursing him. You thank the Lord for these trials. You be glad for the difficulties that he's given to you. Humble yourselves, because God, that God may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. There is a great struggle going on, but the struggle isn't with Christ. It's with the enemy of our souls. He would sift you as wheat, but Christ has prayed for you, and he intercedes for you. And he's compassionate toward you. And so these things only touch you insofar as the Lord allows them to touch you. And it is for your good. It is for your blessing and your keeping. That understanding which you have now of your Lord, it's because he's prayed for you. It's because he interceded for you. It's because he's provided for you long before you ever knew him or knew of him or believed him or trusted in him. He's provided everything for your safekeeping and your provision. So with that, let's turn over to John 17 now and just go through these verses real quick, verses 9 through 11. Remember, he's praying this here for his disciples as our high priest, because he's returning to the Father, but we're still here on earth. And so he had compassion on them, that the Lord would provide for them, that his Father would provide for them. So verse 9, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. So here he is. He's lifting his disciples up to his Father before the throne of grace. And he says in verse 10, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. You see, the Lord is going to have his fruit. He's going to produce his fruit by his grace and mercy in you. He's going to reveal in you that new man. He's going to make every one of his people new creatures, whereby they glorify their Lord, whereby they confess that he's all my salvation. He's everything. He's delivered me from death in spite of myself. He's my Savior, my all, my deliverer. And he's blessed his people, pouring out his Spirit upon them, who comes and seeks us, who are lost sheep, and he doesn't find us doing well. He doesn't find us having fixed ourselves and got ourselves ready, but rather he finds us in weakness, in misery, in darkness, doing foolish things. And that's where the Lord has mercy and delivers us from those things by his grace, through the preaching of the gospel made effectual in your heart, so that you know, I didn't do this for me. I didn't get myself saved. Christ saved me by his grace and mercy, that we might know the grace of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. We were lost sheep, and we would be lost sheep ever if not for the grace of God. And he's the one that keeps us and brings us back so that Christ is glorified. He's glorified in what he's done for us. We have nothing to boast in. He's our wisdom. He's our righteousness. He's our sanctification. He's our redemption. That according as it's written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. We don't stand here and boast about how I did this and I stopped doing that and I started doing this and that's why I am here where I am today. No, we've got nothing to boast in. Nothing. We're all sinners saved by the grace of God, who had mercy and compassion on us in spite of us. Verse 11, he prays to the Father that the Father make this his promise effectual unto us. He said, now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. You think about what was going on that night when Christ prayed that for you. He was only moments away from his enemies coming and taking him away and leading him to be crucified on the cross, not for any crimes that he had done, but as the Lamb of God, sent of the Father, because we are sinners, because we are wretched and vile creatures who cannot work a righteousness for ourselves, who cannot save ourselves or keep the law and make ourselves white and righteous and perfect before him. We need a Savior. We need a Savior. We need to be delivered from this death because we cannot save ourselves from it. The Father sent the Son and spared him not, but delivered him up for all his people scattered throughout the world. There's one Savior, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ whom he sent, and he went to the cross, not for any crimes that he had done, but bearing the sin of his people before holy God to be roasted in the fiery wrath of God for the sins that you and I who believe him committed, willfully even, doing what we did in spite of the grace of God, and yet Christ gave himself, laid down his life to redeem us, to reconcile us to holy God, that we may be gathered here together in joy and in gladness, thanking our God, glorifying him for laying down his life for me, who loved me and gave himself for me. And you that believe him, confess that same thing. Lord, you did that for me. Thank you, Lord. And so with all that before him, not thinking of himself, but thinking of you, he prayed and made sure you had provision. Before he returned to the Father in joy and gladness, he prayed for you that you would be kept and blessed, and that this word would be made effectual to your heart, and that through all these trials it would work good for you, for your good and your keeping. I pray the Lord bless that word to your hearts and keep you, brethren. Amen. Amen. I'll pray and then we'll be dismissed. Is that all right? Yeah, all right. Our gracious Lord, we thank you for your grace and your love. Lord, forgive us for our hardness of heart and our complaining and our bitterness, Lord. How foolish we are to think that what comes upon us is either to punish us or because we've done it. Lord, we are fools. We make mistakes always, and we do foolish things and sin always, Lord. But you are merciful and gracious to us, and you've given us these things not for our hurt, not to punish us, not to make us feel bad, but for our good, to teach us to deliver us from death and to bless your people as it is this day to hear your gospel and to glorify Christ in our hearts, being thankful because we see again and again your mercy and kindness toward us, though it's undeserving, but it's all deserving in Christ because of him, his faithfulness and what he's done. Thank you, Lord. Continue to bless us and feed us with Christ, for Christ's sake. It's in his name we pray and give thanks. Amen.